Now entering Nerdist.com.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Check. Oh man, that's what I'm talking about. That sounds good right there. Check. My dulcet tones coming through this loudspeaker, going through the wire, using electricity to facilitate my voice through the air into your eardrums. Razzle,
hey,
is your mic working, Razzle?
I think it is. There it goes.
There we go.
Hey, everybody.
Like Montel Jordan said, this is how we do it.
This is how we do it.
Oh, my God. Guys, welcome to a live edition of Today We Learned,
yes,
a podcast of knowledge. We're here at San Diego Comic-Con 2015 at the Nerdist Carnival at Scenic Petco Park. Petco, it's where the pets go. It's also where we go to do a podcast.
Yeah.
My name is Dan Casey.
And as usual, my name is Razzle.
And we're here with two very awesome guests. I'm very excited to have them here. You can't see her right now unless you happen to be here. If you're listening to this later, you're just going to have to imagine it with your brain. Or we probably posted a picture of her already. But we have senior editor of Rotten Tomatoes, Gray Drake. She speaks in wolf calls exclusively. And she's wearing an amazing unicorn costume right now.
Yes, soon to turn into the drunkacorn.
Yes, the majestic transformation that we all hope to witness.
After cocktail hour, it's on like Donkey Kong, which is a video game that drunkacorn plays. Fun fact.
Yeah.
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 Did you say, I hear Drudge Report.
Drudge Report, yeah.
I'm like, oh, the Drudge Report. That's what,
right,
I heard.
Yeah,
sure.
Drudge Report is a video game that Donkey Kong plays.
Yeah.
We've established that.
So, that's something you learned today.
It is.
And we have another very special guest. You know him. You love him. He's been a guest on this self-same podcast,
yes,
before. So please welcome back director of Fanboys, Kyle Newman. Thank you,
yes,
for being here, man.
Kyle Newman. Thank you for having me on.
And newly released Barely Lethal.
Ooh. Yes. Awesome.
Yeah. Little known fact for the people at home is I am dressed like The Rock from Ballers. That's what I'm cosplaying as.
Wow.
Yeah. But you can't see it right now, but just imagine it.
I have chains
and a very low button shirt, and I look like I'm from Miami.
Yeah, and people also don't know that Razzle and I are in a two-person horse costume, but we can only get the butt part, so we're both horse butts.
We're both horse butts.
We're a gross centaur.
Yeah, we're two centaurs.
Yeah, when two centaurs combine, you make one horse and one man.
It's like cat dog, that Nickelodeon show.
Abomination cat dog?
Like a cat, a split between two atoms. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what happens. That's why science has gone too far. That's why Jim Carrey doesn't want you to vaccinate your kids so you don't make a cat dog accidentally. Oh, awesome. So, guys, how is your Comic-Con going so far?
Comic-Con is so fun all the time, and I am so bewildered, and I'm dressed like a unicorn, and I'm clueless about everything going on around me. I'm like a clueless-acorn.
Starring Paul Rudd?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
He's my hero.
He's everyone's hero. Ant-Man, in theaters July 17th. Go see it.
I've been told I'm a total Betty. I don't mean to brag.
Yeah?
But.
Nice.
Kyle, how's your con going?
It's been great. I came down here with zero expectations. I am wandering around with zero schedule, zero goals,
ooh,
zero incentives, zero desires. I'm not hoping to go home with any merchandise.
You're leading the aesthetic lifestyle.
If I hear the term San Diego Comic-Con exclusive one more time, I might punch someone.
What if we call it a hot exclue?
Because let's face it, it's all tchotchkes.
Yeah, tchotchkes that you can then resell for 8 times its purchase price.
I would like some of those Totinos being advertised right here, but there's no way to procure them. How do I get Totinos in my mouth?
In his mouth.
That can easily be facilitated. But what you also can't see if you're not here at Comic-Con, this is a fact today I learned, that there is a person across the way from us who is in some sort of cake prison making a cake that looks like a box of Totino's pizza rolls pouring out.
Hold on, that's a cake right there?
Yeah, that's a cake.
That is a cake.
She is making a cake in real time. We're witnessing pastry happen.
That is that can a cake too?
Yeah.
That whole thing is a cake.
Everything in that booth, including the person, is made of fondant and cake.
Yes.
You guys...
She is a very provocatively dressed chef.
Truly. What do you suppose, in cake prison, the showers are like?
They're run thick with frosting. And,
yes.
Man, just batter comes out of the showers.
Yeah.
Totino's are the new black.
While we're talking about Totino's, I got a fun fact about Totino's for you guys.
Okay, go on.
Totino's was founded by a lady named Rose Totino and her husband, Jim.
Jim Totino.
I love Jim.
Nice
guy. Big fan of Jim Totino.
Oh, Jim, great guy.
Big
I love
tipper.
His work. His pizza roll work is astounding.
They founded a takeout pizzeria in Minneapolis, Minnesota in 1951. And they later expanded it to the full-service restaurant, which ended up closing down in 2011. But they ended up transferring it over into the frozen food manufacturing company, which eventually sold to Pillsbury, where... By default, Rose Totino was named vice president.
Whoa.
And Rose is still holding out on us because no one has brought us the Totinos I requested 5 minutes ago.
They're teasing us.
They're teasing us.
They are teasing us.
Little fun
us.
Fact. Totinos suck.
Oh, hey, man.
No,
Totinos
they're not bringing
are great.
Me any Totinos.
Totinos are great.
I feel like
you're thinking of Hot Pockets. Now, that's some hot garbage right there. Right. Totinos,
no,
we
I
love
I want Totinos.
You.
I love I'm craving them.
Totinos. Kyle and I will play. We'll play board games a lot.
Yeah.
And I do, fun fact, I always bring Totinos over to play, and we've relabeled them Pizza Friends.
Pizza Friends.
Pizza Friends.
You just say, I'd like some Pizza Friends in my mouth. It's like a very, it's acceptable.
Just make sure you don't put that on Urban Dictionary. You'll get a very different
pizza
definition.
Pizza Friends.
Love me some pizza, some Totinos Pizza Friends.
Yeah. Yes. I love it hot. Pizza, pizza Friends
squirt
I could
see that, like, animated series taking off. Like, that could be huge.
Yeah.
The Pizza Friends.
Dan, how's your con going?
My Comic-Con's going very well. This is, like, the first time I've not been running around like a lunatic. I've just been mainly here at Petco doing interviews and stuff like that, and it's been great. We've had pop-up laser tag, we've had cake prison, we've had people doing inflatable jousting, we've had awesome folks coming to the stage. It's been wonderful. But it's been crazy to see how much Comic-Con has grown, especially since it's been here, I think, since 1970.
Yeah,
and back then they had two cons in 1970. The first one was called like the Golden State San Diego Comic Mini Con or something like that.
That's a lot of words.
It was like Golden State San Diego Comic Book Mini Con Deluxe Junior. Applebee's, brought to you by Red Lobster.
TM.
Yeah, it was. I have the full name here. Yeah, it started as a one-day convention at the Grant Hotel in downtown San Diego. They only had two special guests, this guy Forrest J. Ackerman, who is, he's like basically the father of modern sci-fi fandom.
Yep.
And another gentleman named Mike Royer, who is a comic book artist.
Also, you can't see it right now, but there's a chain gang right next to us.
Yeah, exactly. We have a lot of gangland activity here at Petco. I think that was a gang from PetSmart, the rival stadium.
In order to
stadium.
Make Comic-Con work, they have to get labor, forced labor, and they put you on a chain gang.
Yeah.
For four days, like, you have to, you know, help out, volunteer.
Of course.
Volunteer.
Yeah.
It's much like a nerdy FIFA.
It's a lot of corruption, but hey, we're going to get that stadium built.
Hey, Dan, guess what?
What's up?
You mentioned laser tag going on. Laser tag,
according
to Wikipedia, laser tag was first played in 1984.
By Wilhelm Tag.
That's a good year.
It was also invented by Rose and Jim Totino.
We need something to do to work up an appetite for these pizza friends.
They just wanted to deliver Totinos into your mouth faster. So they figured they'd deliver it by laser. And it actually, the byproduct was the game of laser tag. And then Photon.
Yeah.
Photon was very popular in 1986, 1985, right? Was it 85, 86, or what was it? Photon. Photon was like the Canadian brother of laser tag, the underachieving brother.
I look up Photon, and all it tells me about is the elementary particle, the quantum of light.
Look up Photon,
no, we don't want
game.
The particle Photon was around before 1986.
No, because laser tag had an animated series in the 80s,
yeah.
And Photon had a live-action series in the 80s.
Was it a live-action laser tag series?
Yes.
No, it was animated laser tag.
Okay.
Live-action Photon.
Gotcha.
Photon, the ultimate game on planet Earth.
It was ultimate. Where I grew up in New Jersey, there was a two-level Photon Stadium. It was like the first stadium, I think, in the United States.
Yeah, Photon.
I would play there.
Yeah.
Get kicked out.
Photon was the name of the first commercial laser tag arena. The company also came out with a home laser tag game, and there were various media tie-ins. There was a TV show called Photon and a series of novels by Peter David.
Can you imagine reading a laser tag novel? Wait, is that Peter David? Is that the same Peter David who went on to write amazing arcs in The Incredible Hulk?
He did, yes.
I bet.
Oh, my God. Wow. Okay, maybe they're good laser tag novels. He's a great writer.
I love those novelizations. You know that I had a novelization of the Gremlins film.
Ooh.
Okay.
And I read it too young. I was really scared of Gremlins because it's a terrifying movie.
Yeah.
And I had that novelization, and it scared me so bad reading it. Probably pretty poorly written. Like, not as great as the Joe Dante screenplay, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I was so scared of the physical book that I put it in my basement and hid it in the back corner of the basement. Just so I could pretend it didn't exist.
That's what my nieces and nephews do with the Spy Kids 3 DVD.
No, that's just good taste.
No, they take it, and I'm like, we've watched Spy Kids 1 and 2 over and over. How about we move on to 3? And they shake their heads, no.
Like,
and then
the
one of them ran
jumped the shark.
And hid it in between the mattresses in my parents' room at the beach house in New Jersey. It was raining. We're like, let's just mix it up with Spy Kids 3. It's that bad, I guess.
Wow. Oh,
yeah, so kids do have an aversion to certain content, and they want to hide it and get
which
it
is
out
interesting,
of there.
Too. Like, that you were so scared of the book, the movie was the reason why we have PG-13. Gremlins
right.
and Raiders, or Temple of Doom, are...
And Totino's.
Yeah. Jim and Rose Totino were
graphic.
Tired of their children accidentally seeing something that was meant for a slightly older teen.
Yeah.
Pizza they took friends. Action. My question is, was the novelization of Gremlins kind of like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, where it's, you know, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest told from Chief Broom's perspective, was this from Sloth's perspective?
Wouldn't that have been
from Stripe's, it was from Stripe's perspective.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, you guys, I said.
Wait, how did they handle that scene?
And then I turned the clock forward, backward an hour.
What about when she reveals what happened to her father?
I can't even... I've actually... It's forced amnesia for me.
Okay.
Because I can't remember it because it scared me too badly. And I have since, as an adult, a very courageous unicorn adult...
Yes.
...have wanted to find it in the basement. I know it's still there.
It's
and
be.
Then read it now as a courageous unicorn adult.
It's really... Like, that is... Gremlins, like, I always... You think of Gremlins and you forget that there's a whole scene where they reveal that Santa Claus...
Yeah.
Is it thing? Because there's where you know, there's kids around.
Yeah.
But whatever, and then her dad died in the chimney.
Right. I have that same aversion to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Every childhood
Like,
say that again.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, I have that had that same childhood reaction to as you did to the Gremlins
so
level.
Is it just the scene where everyone is in bed and they're singing that creepy song?
It's the scene where Gene Wilder is a child molester for 2 hours. And there's Oompa Loompas.
There's also that
That's
scene
fair.
Where, I mean, the creepiest one for me in that is the boat ride, where it's just like psychedelic and then you just get like weird visions. Like that's like a Clockwork Orange just seeped its way into Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yes.
You know when you look up that video on YouTube of Gene Wilder just yelling in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, it becomes very apparent how dark and terrifying that movie actually
it's a horror
is.
Film. I classify it as a horror film.
Which is
if
interesting.
If I hear the Oompa Loompa song, there's nothing scarier in my life that I've experienced. They're kind of like mutated clowns, and I hate clowns, so Oompa Loompas are the next level clown.
And they're also incredibly judgmental. Yeah. That was always my problem with the Oompa Loompas, singing their little songs about how you shouldn't like talk back to your parents.
Yeah.
And
so
I always, as a kid, was like, don't you tell me how to live my life. You can't even get a self-tan correctly. Right?
You're working for free for room and board in a chocolate factory.
Yeah, they all got the Angelina Jolie spray tan, and they're telling us about what to do.
A life of toil. They would have been laboring away in Oompa Loompa land.
All the Oompa Loompas were fed were carrots.
Yeah, they all had like carrot-induced jaundice.
Right. No green vegetables for the Oompa Loompas.
Sad.
All carrots.
Except
Truly.
Their hair.
Right.
Yeah. Which is just leftover spinach.
It's since we're talking about movies here, here's a fun thing about... we'll go slightly nerdy here. I got a couple facts here about movies. Did you know that the Back to the Future DeLorean and the Star Trek Enterprise were designed by the same gentleman?
The same man, you say?
The same man, the Highlander.
What? Are we talking the original design or the models?
He made the Toyota Highlander as well?
he there can only be one.
Wow.
He's immortal.
Very limited edition car.
Andrew Probert is an artist who's best known for designing the USS Enterprise for Star Trek the Motion Picture and the Enterprise D for Star Trek the Next Generation. In 1984, he worked on Back to the Future, initially drawing storyboards, but then continuing the design of the DeLorean that had been started by Ron Cobb.
Fun fact,
go on.
The Star Trek Enterprise, when actually built, runs way better than a DeLorean. That's a lie. It's a total lie. Yeah. Yeah.
Are we weighing it in
They're still
space?
Making Star Treks. They're not the other, making DeLoreans.
The other fun fact about the Star Trek Enterprise is if you turn it upside down, it resembles a Klingon vagina.
I've never seen one.
Can we talk about what we were talking about before?
I don't know. Let's just keep in mind there are children present.
No, here's what we're going to talk about. We got into what happens down here at Comic-Con was like a nerd argument on the way into the convention center this morning.
Here at Comic-Con, they unveiled a new Batman vs. Superman trailer.
Yes.
Basically, it should be 100 Batmans vs. Superman is still unfair.
Think they're going to introduce even more Batman?
I think Batman-Superman fight would last 3 minutes. Superman should take his laser rays and shoot Batman in his mouth where he's not covered and game over. It's not even a fair fight.
Right. Superman is not human. Batman is just a rich alien. Sociopath.
Yeah, but
I like to play that game with people. I'm like, would you rather fight an ultimate fighter in a ring or 100 10-year-olds?
Yeah.
Like, what's harder?
Oh, wow.
Here's the deal.
I feel like the 10-year-olds. It's kind of that contest.
It's 100 Batmans versus one Superman. Maybe is an equal ratio.
I don't know.
Batman's got kryptonite.
Yeah, but what is Superman?
Always got a contingency plan.
No,
he does.
I don't know. It seems like to me Batman is a stand-in in this instance for Donald Trump. He's a billionaire who hates immigrants and is taking his fight to the streets.
Whereas Superman is an immigrant.
Yes, who is just trying to make good after he lost his job on the deadliest catch in the first movie.
And, you know, destroy a city.
Yeah.
Totally destroyed an American city.
Metropolis needed to be redesigned.
He did murder Zod.
Yeah. He did not kneel before him.
Here's part of the debate we had. Is General Zod murdered?
No, he said the reason Superman can't beat Batman is because he doesn't kill. And I said, well, he killed General Zod, and that's in the new mythos.
Maybe he didn't. Superman's neck crack?
I think only another Kryptonian or someone with that strength would be able to do that.
Yeah, but then they go up into sunlight and then it'll heal.
It's not how it works. You don't just heal in the sun. You gain invulnerability and super strength.
In the sunlight.
Yeah. They were indoors. It was shady.
Yeah. All right.
I mean,
there was a lot of dust kicked up by the destruction.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sure it got in their eyes. Yeah. Superman, unaffected.
What about how in the trailer? Did anybody watch the trailer?
I haven't seen it yet.
There's a scene where it's like a giant dust stancer. I'm like, World Trade Center size cloud of dust.
Oh, no.
I'm pro-Batman. I'm a huge Batman fan. I think Batman can do anything because he's a much bigger
Batman fan.
He's more interesting. He runs into this giant debris dust cloud like with no goggles or nothing, and it like doesn't even faze him. Which, I mean, it's Batman, so I get it.
Maybe it does phase, and we only just see him run into it, and then he disappears in a cloud of dust.
How great would that be if there was a scene in the Batman versus Superman film that was just Batman going to an optometrist?
Yeah, just stumbling out, being like, oh, what was I thinking?
I should not have ran into this cloud of debris.
That's why I need an armored suit with a mouth guard.
Yes, the mouth guard.
He just hasn't perfected the mouth guard yet. We need to see his stubbly chin.
Here's another thing, some more movie trivia for you guys, since you guys are both into the movies here. The entire main cast of Zombieland has been nominated for at least one Oscar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you got Jesse Eisenberg, Lex Luthor, with a full head of hair.
What?
He was nominated for Social Network.
Oh.
Emma Stone was nominated for Birdman, also starring Batman. Woody Harrelson for The People versus Larry Flint and The Messenger. And Abigail Breslin was nominated for Little Miss Sunshine.
Wow. That's really impressive. And Zombieland was such a great movie.
Oh, yeah. And now those writers are doing Deadpool.
Yeah.
Oh.
No. Yes.
Yes.
It's so exciting.
It is exciting.
There was a whole team of Deadpools that were at the Hilton that I was just at.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt simultaneously uncomfortable and intrigued. Like, I just wanted to plant myself in the middle of them. It's hard for me to hide.
Yeah.
Because I have this big horn on my head.
Well, yeah, but you just need to, like, put a little balaclava over it. Be surreptitious.
Were they X-Men Origins Wolverine, or were they Deadpools?
They were...
Which one?
They had actually... They were more of, like, the classic comic...
Classic comic
Deadpool. And I wanted to plant myself in the middle of them just to listen to their banter. Because if they were truly in character, then it was going to be hilarious.
But they probably wasn't.
No. One of them was actually talking about how he hadn't eaten yet for the day.
Man.
He's like, man, when do we get a break? It's like, that's so un-Deadpool of
you. Yeah, Deadpool's like, is there a Cobb salad around here? I could just die for some croutons right now.
That's what I love about like conventions like this is you'll have everybody, like, you love adults in these amazing costumes, but then when you catch them not in cosplay, like zombies, like they're walking and they're taking up traffic and making it possible to get anywhere. Then when you see them not acting like a zombie, they're just like, it's 99 degrees out.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was at E3 recently covering that for work, and they had hired zombies to wander around the floor and like try and scare people. But at the end of the day, you would just see them like start to pack up their stuff and like walk normally. And like one took out a vape and started like smoking his vape. I'm like, what are you doing? Wait until you get in the parking garage, man. That's not cool. You're breaking the illusion.
Well, but I mean, spoiler alert for Walking Dead fans. The cause of the zombie apocalypse was vaping.
Was vaping? Oh, man. It's a good thing Rick preferred hand-rolled cigarettes.
What do you guys think about the number of people cosplaying as fake fans? Or the hired cosplayers? When you get to, like... You know,
oh,
like,
the promotional marketers?
All the fake Outlanders running...
The
Outlanders.
Here's the thing. I'm glad that they are employing all of those actors who need some work for the weekend.
Okay.
You know, promotional marketing is not fun, but someone's got to do it.
Yeah, and someone's got to do it.
The worst thing, though, by far... It depends on what they're doing, because sometimes it's just, like... It's cool, sometimes it's a little annoying, and sometimes it's... really annoying and a little unsettling. There's a bunch of people dressed as like weird Ron Perlman judges.
Yeah.
For something called Hand of God. Like 9 dudes, all of whom are just shouting the most annoying garbage, got into an elevator with me in these terrifyingly realistic Ron Perlman masks.
Well, and it's one thing, like, I didn't think I could like Mad Max Fury Road anymore until I seen the Mad Max truck driving around
the War
with,
Boys?
Like, hot supermodels in the back wearing skimpy clothes. I'm like, I knew I liked Mad Max for a reason.
I've seen an amazing gimp as well from the front of the Mack truck from Mad Max Fury Road. And he, at the end of his guitar, had a tiki torch.
Of course.
And which he immediately pointed at my face. And I was like, hey, bro. That could misfire at any second, and then you would have a toasted, angry unicorn on your hands.
Don't burn me, bro.
I saw somebody
cosplaying as an amazing Razzle Dangerously yesterday.
Yeah, you know, my favorite cosplay is the guy who doesn't like large crowds. That's what I'm dressed
as. The guy with terrifying agoraphobia.
The guy who's like, can we just keep moving people? That's not a cool enough Optimus Prime. Let's keep walking.
I'm holding out for Rodimus Prime. Rodimus or nothing.
Rodimus Prime or nothing. Here's the thing. I didn't really realize this. I'm not a huge... Aristotle, I know, is a huge Deadpool fan, if I remember correctly. He shakes his head like, man, I prefer Ant-Man.
Nice.
Aristotle does prefer Ant-Man. Fun fact
but
about him.
Deadpool's actually a fairly new... Considering all the movies of heroes that are coming out or have come out... Deadpool was first. His first appearance was in 1991.
Yeah, in the little known fact
is they rebooted him in 1992. No, I'm just kidding. That's like the Marvel pattern now. It's like, let's just reboot everybody.
Everything.
Let's wipe the slate.
They rebooted Deadpool in 1992 with a hotter Aunt May.
They're trying to see how many Spider-Men they can get in how little time. Yes. So far, we're like 3 in 15 years.
We're waiting for Marvel's first, like, the transgender Spider-Man. That's next, right?
I'm looking for the 5-year-old Spider-Man in 8 years.
Spider-babies?
The
Spiderlings?
Spider babies.
We make a dream come true.
Spider.
He can do anything a spider can or anything a human baby can. So not a lot.
Not a lot.
But yeah, you're right. No, Deadpool is fairly recent, only in 1991, so he's...
Can I tell you?
Yes.
It hit me like a bolt of lightning just now.
Yes.
That I'm really ready for Ryan Reynolds to be in something excellent.
Yes.
Because I think that he is really good, and for some reason, he keeps getting boned on his movie choices. Like, he ends up in Selfless, which is far from a success. The first time that they tried Deadpool, they blew it.
Yeah, there was a botched opportunity.
We could take up the whole rest of the show talking about his movies that didn't turn out as great as they seemed on paper.
I mean, that RIPD. Sandra Bullock movie was good. The Proposal was good.
It was good, actually, but nobody cared about that one.
You've got that Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern poster at your house.
Well, I have it with a cross off called the. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm a bailer.
Remember, like a few Comic Cons ago, I was like, "You have to get into Hall H to see the Green Lantern panel."
Here's the thing: that movie could have been great if they would have just either stayed in space
or stayed on Earth.
They tried to do both intergalactic and earthly.
That's it's like the problem that Jupiter Ascending had. If you guys saw
movie,
oh yeah, I've seen that.
God help Channing Tatum and Mila Kunis in
that
movie.
Oh yeah, at what point do you think Channing Tatum was like? Oh, no.
No, I love Channing Tatum, but I don't know what the inspiration was for the Apollo Anton Ono skating.
Yeah. So, you know how werewolves are cool, but roller skating werewolves would be cooler? We've got the movie for you.
Roller skating, roller hover skates.
Yes.
You know, but it's hard. When you step into a big franchise of people that have tremendous pedigree, and it's a brand new sci-fi original property.
Mm-hmm.
And right.
You're not going to say no to the Wachowskis.
It's a great opportunity. It's not on him at all.
On paper, it sounds great.
The movie just made zero sense.
Yeah.
I watched it from start to finish, paid attention, and I have no idea what was going on. I asked another actor who was in it to explain it to me, and he laughed. Because he didn't know either. He was in the film.
I wonder how long that script was, like the first cut of that script.
It was approximately 317 pages,
317?
That's my guess.
Oh, man.
Well, they obviously wanted to, you know, make it into like a trilogy or something, and then they bailed.
They just wrote it all at once.
I got to imagine they got the okay.
Eddie Redmayne and the T-Rexes.
As they kept going, they started getting notes or whatever saying, we're not doing three of these.
Right.
So they crammed it all into one.
At what point in what script meeting do you think that the Wachowski said, well, we really like Sean Bean to be the king of the bees?
Yeah.
Because bees recognize royalty.
What?
You know, they follow a queen, so ipso facto. What up, Jupiter?
I'm sorry, Wachowskis, is this the world that you live in?
What about how Sean Bean's daughter goes out to get groceries and then you never see her again?
Oh, so they're saving that for the sequel. She returns and everybody's gone.
Here's the thing, though. This is what happens. Like, I'm a firm believer on, like, director's cuts and stuff like that, but it goes to show you when you make great movies and you get zero notes. Like,
I would love to see studio cuts. I would love to see studios put out studio cuts because I think a lot of directors fuck their own movies up
or
shoot themselves in the foot.
Like, look, here's the deal.
Movies don't need to be 2 hours and 40 minutes. That's when a studio should step in and do the studio cut.
I mean, I loved Interstellar.
Save people from themselves.
Well, and you know this from seeing projects from start to finish that a lot of things happen, but theoretically that should be in the script. Like, you should have notes for everybody and be like...
You shouldn't go out into making a movie with a 160-page script unless it's like... a historical epic that's telling the lives of two people. Like, there's unique situations. But if it's a traditional...
Abraham Lincoln gets 160 pages.
He deserves that. And if you're going into it thinking you're going to cut it later, then you're also asking for problems. Because you're asking for scenes to service things that they shouldn't necessarily do. And But that movie just didn't make sense. And you have to figure these things out
early Samuel on. Jackson deserves 160 pages. Am I right? I mean,
come on. One-liners, butt-holding...
Well, it's like even Interstellar. I loved Interstellar, but had Nolan gotten a little bit of notes, I feel like it could have been a tighter.
I liked that movie though. I think
I liked it, but it kind of towards the end and like the bookcase and all that.
It was much more inspirational and intriguing than Gravity. And Gravity is a technically proficient, well-made, great movie, but there's still something more fascinating and intriguing and enticing about what Interstellar tried to say. Gravity didn't really say anything.
Correct.
Whatever it was trying to say, I figured out from the first scene when they lay out her hang-ups as a human being.
Yeah.
Interstellar, it was trying to go into loftier places, so you have to give it, it has merit that it was attempting to even philosophically handle more.
Hey, here's a completely random fact.
Go on.
Stevie Ray Vaughan was the guitarist on David Bowie's Let's Dance.
Oh, yeah?
Wow.
Whoa.
That seems interestingly simplistic for someone of Stevie Ray Vaughan's caliber, right? Although it's iconic, am I right?
Yeah.
Stevie Ray Vaughan could
Here's
totally
another
wail.
Interesting fact. That's now the only Stevie Ray Vaughan thing I like. Because I love David Bowie, but I don't love me some Stevie Ray.
You're not down with Stevie Ray?
Stevie,
Stevie Ray Vaughan just walked past.
Yes. He's tooting his own horn.
Yes.
Giving himself a pat on the back. Hey.
Well,
we're here at Stevie Ray Vaughan Con.
David Bowie
Stevie Ray
is
Khan.
Something of a one-of-a-kind person. You would almost say he's like
a unicorn
of the music scene, which is fitting because I happen to have some unicorn facts pulled up. The first known depiction of a unicorn was found in the Lascaux Caves in modern-day France around 15,000 BC.
Yep.
And they actually that's what they thought at first, but they realized... the so-called Lascaux unicorn had two horns. They were just drawn very close together, so maybe it wasn't. Maybe it's the duocorn.
Maybe it's just
the tunicorn.
One. The tunicorn.
Yeah.
And David Bowie is a musicorn.
Yes, he's a musicorn.
Correct.
And Marco Polo, not just a Netflix series, not just a pool-based game.
I thought he started with the pool game.
Yeah, he started with the pool game,
and then he's called
Fish Out of Water on Genghis Khan. He thought that he discovered unicorns during his travels along the Silk Road.
But it was a beluga whale?
No, it was rhinoceroses.
Right.
Yeah, he wrote, they're very ugly brutes to look at. They are not at all as such when we describe unicorns.
Here's the thing about Marco Polo. He tried to pick me up in a bar once. And I was like, Marco. And he kept saying, Polo. And we just did that back and forth for about 400 years. He is such a drag.
So Marco Polo, I guess this is kind of... I mean, I probably knew this, but like you learn all this stuff so long ago when you're my age that you tend to forget and you muddle the facts. But I always, I guess, like if you would have asked me what Marco Polo was, I would have said he was like an explorer. Like if you would have asked me today what he was, I probably would have been like an explorer.
He's the forefather of Totino's.
He was a Italian merchant traveler. Like he would sell things. He would transport and he would sell goods and services.
He's the original transporter.
Yeah.
And he was
what about a Marco Polo?
Never opened the package.
Marco Polo.
What about a Marco Polo movie
Jason
starring
Statham
Jason Statham?
Is Marco Polo.
He will transport spices.
I always seem to remember Marco Polo as being shirtless and covered in motor oil.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
And like
just
the
lathered in saffron.
History has a way of. The cliches stick, but like things like a Napoleon complex. Napoleon was 5'6", which was the standard height of a European male. He just surrounded himself with very tall people, which made it seem like he was small. So really, the Napoleon complex is bullshit.
Which is it's a pretty good way to hide yourself if you're a person of some import.
Right.
Just stand in the middle of a bunch of tall people.
I would rather surround myself with big warriors if I was
smart.
Yeah.
Your warriors would have to be really big, though, because you're a tall gentleman.
I'm tall.
So
dudes on stilts.
I would need like 6'5" and above, 220-pound warriors.
So like The Rock. How tall is The Rock? He's got to be that tall.
Well, I'm
how
dressed like The Rock.
He's 9 feet tall.
He eats nine.
9 feet tall when he's sitting down.
He loves to cook.
Yeah.
9,000 calories a day.
Oh my God! Someone stole
horrifying.
The Totino's cake.
Michael Phelps, when he was training for the Olympics, would eat 15,000 a day. The Rock is eating 6,000 calories less, and that's still a horrifying amount of food.
And when you're considering, especially that it's really healthy food, it's not a burger from McDonald's.
No, he eats like cod,
right? Which is approximately 117 calories.
If we're talking about what's healthy or not, food that's healthy. Apparently, the nutrition labels, the current daily the daily rate intake that you should have, the value that is on the nutrition labels is In the United States, it refers to the intake based from when it first started in 1968.
Oh, so they did not just for inflation of our butts getting
so
fatter.
When you look on the nutrition label in the United States or Canada, all of that information is pertinent to 1968.
Oh, boy.
It was a simpler time.
Yeah, when people were listening to Quadrophenia.
Oh, my God. I
1974.
A coworker of mine has a calendar, like one of those like one-a-day calendars where it's just images of old-timey ads. So it's like he has a bunch from like the 50s and 60s. And he gave me one where Campbell's Soup, for a while, tried to market for on hot days to cool off. They tried to market you should just drink a glass of beef broth on ice.
What?
At first I thought it was like Coca-Cola or something, or maybe whiskey. Then I read closer, I'm like, cool off with a chilled glass of Campbell's beef broth.
No.
Why sweat it off when you can chug a cow?
I've been known to drink broth, but not cold.
Not chilled not beef chilled. Broth?
Not on ice.
Chilled beef broth. Kyle will drink anything. He was drinking some weird contraption earlier.
A weird contraption. It was called cucumber, pear, apple, kale, and celery.
No, that sounds delightful.
Then I also drank another weird drink. It was watermelon and cucumber.
Oh, that sounds delightful.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. It was gross. I tried it.
And he calls it weird stuff. It's called nature's food.
Yeah, well, conversely, do you think beef broth on ice sounds good?
Oh, I got a boner thinking about it right now.
I can't. Nothing will cool me up on a hot day.
Wait, someone take the mic away from him. He's actually devouring his mic right now.
I'm eating my microphone right now.
Could we, for the love of God, get those Totino's over here?
Someone stole the Totino's cake.
I want that cake.
While we were here, there was a heist from the Totino's cake factory.
There was a cake
right under our nose. How insulting.
I can't believe a cake heist unfolded before us and we missed it. That's the perfect crime right there.
Baby Snow White is passing by us right now.
Oh, here's something. I'm going to look this up because I've always wanted
to find it. How tiny do you suppose the dwarves have to be? She's like 2 feet tall.
What is this, a dwarf for ants?
There were a lot of cakes now. A lot of the cool, really cool, interesting cakes you see they're designed with fondant, right?
Yes.
That's what it's like. It's an edible icing used to decorate and sculpt cakes.
It's not super tasty, but it looks real nice, especially if you're the cake boss.
And that's how a lot of people describe certain pop stars.
It's a lot of sucrose, apparently. It's
like Kesha, super, not for consumption.
Nope.
Iggy Azalea is actually just an elaborate fondant cake.
Do you know, by the way, that one time a guy, I was at a bar and waiting for a friend, and I think that a gentleman took that as an excuse to pick me up.
Yeah.
And his opening line was, hey, you know that Kesha song, that TikTok song? And I go, yeah. And so already I'm suspicious, by the way, because I like that song, but I don't think that it's appropriate to be talking about with strange men.
Yeah.
And he goes, I wrote the first two lines of that song. And I went, oh, really? What are they? And he panicked, turned around, and walked away.
That's amazing.
He didn't. Why would you open with that if you don't know the first two lines? Something in the morning feeling like.
Or why not just say you wrote the music to it?
Like P. Diddy.
Yeah, like
just
Paul,
say you wrote the music.
Like Paul Diddy.
He drummed.
Yeah, I was the drummer on that song.
I
was a bass player. Nobody knows a bass player's name for any band.
I had to clean up the studio later that day.
This might be the reason, like my constant questioning of people might be the reason that I'm going to die alone.
I've told people that I was a little kid from The Shining as a joke, and they believed it. I've told people I was a little kid on Family Ties once. My friend said, that was the kid from Family Ties from like season 5.
You just have to
and
insist.
They let me into a bar.
Really? Yeah. I love that kid. You grew up.
Yeah, come on in. Come on. You on Family Ties? Get in here.
I love Alex P. Keaton. I'd vote for him for president.
I love The Shining. Damn.
I played Carl Winslow on Family Matters.
Did you do the thing?
Thank you for your service.
You could. Go ahead.
When you mentioned The Shining, did you do the thing for them to demonstrate?
I was like, oh, fine, I'll do it. I was like, fine, I'll do it, and I did it.
What? Can you do it now?
Oh, here's the thing. You guys want to hear Kyle
Worked
do
really
something?
Well.
Kyle can do the Predator thing. Very good.
I don't know if I can do that.
You probably can't hear it.
It's too I've loud. Had too much water. You have
okay.
To,
oh. He's really good at it.
This Predator's waterlogged.
You can't
get to the chopper.
He's too well hydrated.
We're just
going to
have Aristotle super. Aristotle's going
to
edit the real Predator sound in there.
That's actually, but that's a great question. Do you think that Predator is just really misunderstood and that he just wanted a glass of water?
He's just, I'm parched, please.
Right?
Predator was just misunderstood.
Yeah.
He just wanted to live in the rainforest and build a community.
Well,
and
the novelization of Predator, it's told from his perspective. He's like, man, my dreadlocks are looking fine. I see some new friends. I can hear their heat signatures.
But what about Predator from Predator 2?
Oh, that, well, yeah, with I'm too old for this.
Was he misunderstood?
Yeah, I think he was misunderstood. He just wanted to live in his fortress under the city.
Yeah.
Was that the same Predator?
No, it was a different one, right? Because the other one got killed.
We forced Predator to do this, you guys.
Yeah, because even in Predator 2, they make reference to Predator 1, right?
They make reference to Alien in it, actually. If you look at when Glover goes on the ship at the end, and you see on the back wall, there's all these all his trophies, the heads of other creatures. And off, slightly out of focus, you see the alien's head. That Here's was something. Why people started to say, oh, let's do Aliens and Predator and tie them together. It all started from that scene at the end of Predator 2. Cool.
Did you know that the
bad
very
movies
first...
producing more bad ideas?
It's an Ouroboros of BS.
Yeah. The original Predator was JCVD.
Yeah, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Jean-Claude Van Damme was the original Predator.
They dropped
him. He was like a pink peach.
They took the part away, though, because he was known for being like a relentless complainer.
Yep. Yeah.
He was too costume. Much of a diva to be Predator.
And his costume was just atrocious.
He had no idea he was going to be wearing a costume, apparently. He showed up and thought it was all about him.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like JCVD.
If I was a billionaire, I would refinance. I would reboot Predator, remake it shot for shot, only have Jean-Claude Van Damme be himself as the Predator.
See, that's what you want the studio cut. You want to see the studio's cut with Predator, the old Predator.
Like, no costume, just Jean-Claude Van Damme hiding up in a tree going...
Yeah, and then suddenly two trucks appear.
You know, I have a really terrible memory, but there are certain scenes from movies that have stayed with me for my whole life. With the most potent number one scene being JCVD on the kitchen counter doing the splits in Time Cop.
I'm getting nods. That's up there.
Because... I'll be honest with you guys, because I can't lie in front of you and all these nice people and the Totinos. It's what made me a woman. For real.
Time Cop, huh? 1994.
Yes.
I want to say, like, we want more original content, like Time Cop. That's what people say. But he actually,
Time Cop reboot coming in 2017. Get excited.
It has to be.
Excited. I mean, who out there in the audience love Time? Oh, a lot of people out here love Time.
Man, I'm seeing a sea of hands.
There's like 100 hands.
If you thought we had Stevie Ray Vaughan fans here, you wouldn't believe how many Time Cop fans.
I thought out of the 5,000 of you, there was only going to be like 2 Time Cop fans. But apparently, one guy's dressed like Time Cop.
Yeah, that's the actual Time Cop.
He's dressed as Time Cop with his two friends dressed as the kitchen, so he can do the splits on them.
Woo! Time! Very enthusiastic.
He's cosplaying as the kitchen.
We should just call this podcast Time Con.
Now, Disney's doing all their live-action movies of animated. What do you think about the rumor that they're doing the live-action DuckTales?
Oh, woo. Here's the deal.
How realistic are we talking? Is it going to be like Howard the Duck, or is it going to be like Fly Away Home? Is it going to be like...
It would be amazing if it was
I'm
like
just
Howard
making
the
this
Duck.
Up, but wouldn't that
He's
be cool?
He's making that up because he
just
knows
like
I'm a huge
horrifyingly realistic-looking Scrooge McDuck.
It would look like Cats on Broadway, which is pretty horrifying.
I saw that on Broadway.
The other movie that's incredibly horrifying is Cat in the Hat. Looking...
Oh, God. Nightmares.
Well, I don't like that stuff where you try to put fur on humans.
You don't like Jim Carrey as a furry who rhymes?
Well, but, I do not like Jim Carrey and the Grinch.
Jim Carrey was the Grinch. Mike Myers was Cat in the Hat.
Oh, yeah.
And Mike Myers, the Mike
Still
Myers
a furry
Cat in the
who
Hat,
rhymes.
Believe it or not, that is the reason why there are no more live-action Dr. Seuss movies, and they're all CG, because that movie didn't do well in the family, the estate of... Theodore Geisel, I believe, Teddy, my man Teddy, they didn't like that movie. And there was like adult jokes and stuff, and it didn't do well, and it was
scary.
And
there was a lot of canted angles, which is also scary if you're a filmmaker, and you look at people shooting whole films with canted angles, you think something's wrong.
Yeah. Really weird choice for a kid's movie.
Really weird. Like, no, Steadicam canted weirdness. It was like...
Luckily, Horton Hears a Who was animated and way better for the whole family. And it wasn't the most sophisticated definitely not done by Pixar, guys. Yeah, but it was way better.
I'm still holding out hope for like a Dana Carvey or Steve Buscemi Yertle the Turtle vehicle.
No. Yeah.
You don't think they're going to do Green Eggs and Ham with Jesse Eisenberg?
As the eggs or the ham or Sam?
Yeah, he's going to be playing all three with a full head of hair.
Exclusive.
Nice.
Yeah. It's controversial this time around. The eggs have long flowing locks.
Long flowing locks. Yeah,
guys, in about 6 years, I'm not even kidding, there probably will be some form of Green Eggs and Ham.
Yeah.
It'll be here at Comic-Con. Because it's not
Green
even about
eggs and
comic
ham,
books anymore.
Hall H panel. 6,100 people are here for exclusive Green Eggs.
Here's something.
But it will happen.
Yeah. Funko is going to make a statue of the ham. It's going to be great.
Now, here's something, because I have the Kyle, you mentioned canted angle. It's a camera angle which is deliberately slanted to one side, sometimes used for dramatic effect to help portray unease, disorientation. Now, give me an example. Like, what? Because is it just like askew or what?
Slightly askew.
So the camera is askew, so the ground is slightly
correct.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that kind of camera work in like movies like Citizen Kane, and you can watch it and really pick apart why it affects us the way that it does. Cinematography is awesome. I used to film a ton of stuff. That was my favorite.
And like, that was written based on good movies. The Dutch Angle.
The Dutch Angle.
It was written, that definition, but then people sometimes just use it, like, there's techniques you use for the psychological effect, where it felt like if your whole movie shot that way...
Like Transformers?
Basically, it renders it all useless. It doesn't have a psychological effect, because everything is shot one way. That just becomes the basic grammar of your film. And you neuter the potency of the technique.
And I think that's what's happening with certain other techniques right now, like speed ramping. That's happening in like every single action movie to the point where the first time you see it, it's kind of cool. It's like, oh man, you have this like very kinetic sequence that gets slowed down and then you sort of break it down. But then they just do it time and time again
kind
through
like
nine Instagram filters and loses
like
all its potency.
Is that like the church scene from The Kingsman?
It's like
that was well done.
That was hyperspeed though.
Super awesome.
That was incredible. Speed ramping, look at anything that happens in a 300 movie, especially the sequel. Because that is just like let's just shoot this frame by frame.
Also, Guy Ritchie loves to employ speed ramping to no effect.
He does a lot of super. He does.
I like a lot of it, but sometimes if it's done all the time.
What's that new movie he did? I'm really excited about
Man from Uncle.
The Man from UNCLE. Yeah.
Man from Uncle. I've seen it. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
I like it. I like it.
Thank
oh wow.
Goodness.
I will go on record saying I like it.
The show is pretty good.
It's like a nice throwback '60s spy thriller. Everyone's handsome. It's got a good sense of humor about it. It's fun.
Speed ramping.
Did you like the Avengers? Not the recent one, but the Avengers.
Yes. Yeah. The old TV show.
The movie that they made.
Oh, the one with Sean Connery controlling the weather with a machine?
Yes.
I love that. What a great plot. That made Zardoz look like...
That and Wild Wild West really did it for me.
Yeah.
No one ever.
You know, I loved the giant spider at the end of Man from U.N.C.L.E. West,
applause.
Jim West, Desperado, Rough Rider. No, you don't want Nada. Listen, stop clapping.
Clappers. It's just 2 out of 5,000 clapping.
Yeah.
You guys can do better out there.
Yeah. Stevie Ray Vaughan fans also love Will Smith.
Yes.
Stevie Ray Vaughan fans.
Yeah.
He was here at Comic-Con.
I know. He was here.
He showed up for Suicide Squad.
Yeah, he was
Stevie Ray's in
Will
Suicide
Smith.
Squad?
Yeah.
And vaping.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. Who else did they stuff into Suicide Squad?
Well, Jared Leto.
Jai Courtney, of course.
Apparently impressed everybody in what they showed. So I'm really excited to see
huge Jai Courtney.
Jai Courtney is the basic character model in any RPG when you're making a new
I love
character.
Jai Courtney in every sequel to my favorite movie as a kid.
Is he in the Goonies too? I heard
probably.
Jai Courtney.
He plays the grown-up version of Hot Sloth.
Name an action movie sequel that he's not in.
No, he's the grown-up Mikey.
Yeah.
Isn't that the rumor?
he's
Jai Courtney likes to menace people in junkets.
Jai Courtney's really in the...
Yeah, I've been on the receiving end of that a couple of times.
Menace how? Like intense
stares? He's a nice dude. Super
verbal?
Nice dude. I've met him.
He waves his finger.
He's a really,
nice really nice dude. And he's going to play John Matuszak's prequel version of Sloth and Goonies 3.
Yeah. Sloth, Rise of an Empire.
If you were going to reboot the Fast franchise, might be a good time to.
Nope. Fast
I would cast Jai Courtney.
As what?
As I'm
Paul
kidding.
Walker?
A car.
Oh, thank goodness.
No, I wouldn't.
As the owner of a local Jiffy Lube.
You wouldn't want to do that. You wouldn't want to recast it. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's too
iconic.
Although
I would like to see Jai Courtney as one of the women in Fast Ghostbusters. And Furious, where they wear the gold booty shorts and like kick off the race.
Yeah, he's like the race boy who has the big flag at Race Wars.
Well, Razzle's working on a reboot of Bridesmaids. It's the all-male Bridesmaids.
Yes. It's called
and
Brosemaids.
He wants Jai Courtney in it. Yeah. Yes.
Jai Courtney's the and one who takes the dump in the
it's
sink.
Called Groom Dudes.
He's also working on the all-male Cinderella, which is with Vin Diesel. It's Vinderella.
Yeah,
he's
yeah. TM. Vinderella.com.
Vinderella.
Vinderella starring Vin Diesel as himself and the shoe.
It's wishes come true for boys, too.
Yeah. He's also rewriting another Disney classic with Jai Courtney, The Giant King, where everything that Jai Courtney sees, he can somehow wind up to be cast in.
He's going to do the Iron Giant, but he's going to Jai Courtney voice the Iron Giant.
But Surgeon City.
You can also see Jai Courtney in my favorite sequel, Dr. Seuss sequel, Courtney Hears a Who.
Oh, I'm also a fan of his work with Brad Bird and the Iron Giant. Jai Courtney, we'll see you on the next episode. We
love
can't
you,
wait to have you on today. We learned you have an open invitation.
Yeah, hey, he can be on our podcast as long as he brings some Jai Lattes.
Apparently he's going to come here and now he's going to intimidate us.
Yeah, Live Free or Jai Hard. I mean, he actually was in that movie. That was... Okay, he was in A Good Day to Jai Hard,
hey,
which
I'll
was a bad film to watch ever.
Hey,
if he wants to debate movies, I'll hold him in court any day.
Yeah. All right. On this note, Jai Courtney, if you're out there, sorry if we hurt your feelings. Sorry, we're not sorry.
Hey, Jai, come on our podcast so everybody can hate it.
Yeah.
Come on, listen, Jai Noon.
Jai Noon.
Gray, Kyle, thank you so much for being here today. Real quick, we're going to turn the show over to you guys. Do you have anything to plug?
Yeah, what
anything
you guys
coming
got?
Up? Where can people find you on the World Wide Web?
Kyle, please.
So I have a film that's out right now called Barely Lethal. It stars Samuel L. Jackson, Haley Steinfeld, Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones, Jessica Alba. Really great cast. It's a high school action comedy, genre bending, thrill ride. No, it's not a thrill ride. It's funny.
It's funny. It's very funny. I've seen it. It's almost like a Mean Girls with some fighting, and it's like with like action packs and like
yeah,
spy.
It's a throwback.
It's like spy meets Mean Girls.
True
PG-13.
So that's out right now. Depending on where you are in the world, it's in theaters. It was in theaters here. Now it's all VOD platforms. It'll be on DVD, Blu-ray, August 4th. And I also directed a good portion of Taylor Swift's world tour. So that's around the world right now. So check that out.
Yes.
And what else? What's coming up next? Well, hopefully shooting something in the fall, but I can't really talk about it yet.
Okay.
So staying busy.
That's awesome. And where can people find you online?
Kyle_Newman at both Instagram and Twitter.
Great. Awesome.
Nice. At Rotten Tomatoes, we also have a podcast. So you can find us on iTunes there. And you can see my interviews on RottenTomatoes.com. And I highly recommend the recent Magic Mike XXL Junket.
Oh.
Where I dressed up as a male stripper, complete with muscle suit and suspenders and bow tie.
These pictures are amazing if you haven't seen them. They're like next level. I walked in on the end of her interview with Chris Pratt for Jurassic World, where she had the clicker that he has to train the raptors. So definitely recommend checking that one out as well.
So you can see those on RottenTomatoes.com, and I'm on Twitter at GRAEDRAKE. That's my name there, and Instagram.
Awesome, awesome.
Awesome.
And you can find the podcast online on the internet. We're on Twitter at TWL Podcast. You can find us on Facebook. Today we learned Razzle and Dan. You can also find us on Gmail if you have something to send us. Today we learned podcast at gmail.com.
Yes.
And we really appreciate all the kind words, all the stuff you've written on iTunes and the comment sections across the land. That's great. And if you want to talk to us personally, guess what? We're here for you guys. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at osteoferocious. And also buy my book, 100 Things Avengers Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die, in stores now, wherever fine books are sold, wherever fine books are stolen, then sold on the black market.
Yeah, and you can follow me on Twitter at my name is Razzle2. You can follow me on Instagram at my name is Razzle, or you can go to my website, totinospizza.com.
/rose.john/pizza.
Have you ever found just Razzle and menaced that person?
No.
You should. You really
is there,
should.
Is there my name is Razzle 1?
There's a my name is Razzle, and that's also my account that I don't use.
See, he's menaced himself. It was a real crisis of confidence.
I have two accounts. I literally, every week I talk
Do
about.
Do you report yourself for abuse?
No, I've thought about dropping the two and just putting it on my other account and having My Name Is Razzle and having it like across the board, but it's kind of stupid to have a number two and have, you know what I mean, like have the number one.
You should have went like My Name Is Razzle 22.
22, like who's My Name Is Razzle?
My Name Is Razzle 69.
Yeah.
So this is this was our first live podcast.
Yes, thank you to everyone here at the Carnival.
Our first
here
and
at
last live podcast.
Thank you to Nerdist and Geek and Sundry and Amy Poehler Smart Girls for letting us use the stage.
Absolutely. This has been a lot of fun. I appreciate everybody listening and everybody that's come out and all 5,000 Stevie Ray Vaughan merged with Time Cop fans.
So many Vaughn players.
Holy cow.
You guys can now say you've played like Petco Stadium.
Yes.
You took over the whole stadium.
Yeah, we filled it with 100,000 people. They built new risers.
I'm going to book so many zero stand-up comedy shows using that credit.
I've played Petco. That's where the pets
played
go.
Petco Stadium. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We played the Totino's booth.
We played the Totino's stage.
Yes. Yes.
At warptour.com.
Awesome. All right, guys. Thanks so much, and we will see you next time.
And thank you, the guys doing the sound and all that. Thank you for doing this and hanging out and not going to the floor to buy trinkets.
It was like a huge 18-person sound crew.
Yeah, we got
it's hard being on the road.
And I want to thank Crafties in the back for supplying all those treats and the fruit snacks.
And your assistant.
I want to thank my assistant for packing up my computer for me right now.
And your research team for all the fact finding.
My research team is tireless. I don't know how they do it.
And your stretched Jetta driver.
Oh, yes, and thank you to Hot Sloth.
Yes. Definitely.
And thank you to Jai Courtney.
All right, see you next time.
All right, next time. As always.
As always, I'm so sorry, Jai Courtney.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.